I have to go check on my red lipstick. See if it's fine. How does it look?
Beautiful.
Good times. Thanks. All right, so good evening, everybody, all of you. How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. Welcome to Dome, Dearborn Open Mic in English, which occurs on the third Wednesday of every month. My name is Riwa Zinati, and I am a poet, writer, and editor of Sukoon magazine, publishing Arab-themed literature and art in English. I am very happy to be here tonight, and to be part of Dome, to be a member, to be an organizer. Dome is a very important part of the cultural scene in Dearborn. We welcome, it is a very safe space that welcomes artists and poets and writers and visual artists and comedians and musicians every month to share their work and to feel like even if it's a work in progress, this is a place where we support and we uplift and we encourage. There's no judgment. You know, I'm looking at you over there. So encouraging her to share her work. So please do, please tell your friends, please share your work. Come here every month, and you know, it's all we need each other. We need community, we need to support each other. And so yeah, usually how we do this is we have a featured speaker, a certain topic or a theme every month. We have a musician and an artist and a comedian, and then we open the stage, and the featured poet, of course. And then we open the stage for open mic. Tonight, we're going to be having a little less of that. We'll be having a featured poet, featured speaker, and we will open the stage for open mic after that. So because today's theme and today's talk by Professor Aoun Jaber is about the Arabic language and how easy or difficult it is to teach the Arabic language, I thought I would share a poem with you before we begin. It's a poem that I'm working. It's in progress. It's still a draft, and it's not finalized. But it's pretty much exploring the Arabic language and defining it in English. So I chose some Arabic words, and I tried to write, you know, about them, how, what they mean, but in English. So good luck to me. This poem is called Sabah. Sabah is a woman with a voice like a bird. Is the morning in the first language of my tongue. Dar is the room where we gather the winter, beginning around the blue flames of Nar. Salat is prayer, is breath. Salam is peace, is be, is upon you, not harb. Ward is a rose, a cool drink in a glass. Sabun is milh, like earth minus water. Infijar means loss, means all the ones you love. Means the opposite of fajr or the million pieces of dawn. Shabak is the door we open to the sun. Hurriya, not huriya, like the open thighs of paradise. Qalbi is a beat of a wedding song. And ismi is the absence of thirst. Jismi is mine, my body, my own. And saif is a season that remembers the sounds of home. Matar is the romance of closed windows. And matar means all the ways we continue to go. Thank you. I would like to please welcome and introduce Professor Aoun Jaber, who is the president of Al-Nadwa Freethinking Society and professor of Arabic language in the Department of Near Eastern Studies at Wayne State University. A native of Lebanon, Mr. Jaber has been an activist and business owner in the Arab American community. His teaching and community experiences have enriched his abilities to communicate in a variety of Arabic regional linguistics and with people from diverse Arab origins and beliefs. He holds two master's degrees from Wayne State University in Bilingual Education and Near Eastern Studies. So let's please welcome Professor Al-Jaber. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you, Riwa. Really, I need that poem maybe for my class. This is very, very important. I could use it. And thanks for Wissam. I think Wissam is involved in a lot of activities. He's behind all that, you see, movement toward or any activities that happen in regarding Arab-American culture. I think the topic I would like to talk to you about is Arabic language hard to acquire? Who thinks the Arabic language is hard to learn? Raise your hand. I think that's the notion of 99% of my students when they come to the class and I ask that question. Why? Because when you look someone writing Arabic at any place, first of all, they start from right to left with that cursive handwriting. So you think it's, hey, I can't learn this one. This is, just forget about it. Let's register for Spanish or French or anything else. So forget about the Arabic. So most of my students were driven to learn Arabic for two reasons. One of the reasons to learn Arabic is because their parents asked them to learn Arabic. So to enrich or enhance their identity. Or if they want them, when they go back to the old country, that they know Arabic. The second reason they learn Arabic, because they think the dialect they knew at home, it's the language we teach at school. Really, it's not. We teach at school modern standard Arabic and the ABA, Arab-born American, really they know the dialect. Arabic suffer from what we call daglasia. Daglasia is a French word that tell us we have two level of Arabic, the high level and the lower level of Arabic. The high level of Arabic is the classical Arabic or modern standard Arabic, which used by government, which used by poet, which used by newspaper, and everything else. The low level is the one we use on your daily life with your parents and these things. Nobody suffer from that, having two languages at the same time, but Arab and sometimes the Greek, when they retain the old language of the Greek. But Arab, they have this problem with the Arabic language. And right now, the debate goes on. Which language we should teach at universities? Should we teach the dialect? Or should we teach the modern standard? There is two philosophy behind that. One of the philosophy that born after 9/11, but they did not tell the exact reason why. And that philosophy said, well, language just created for communication. So let's teach the dialect. This philosophy adopted after 9/11. After 9/11, we got caught that nobody knows Arabic in the United States. Nobody knows Hindi. Nobody knows Swahili. Nobody knows Urdu. Nobody knows Persian. That's why after 9/11, you see the chips man or the candy man or the taxi cab, they became a translator. And they jump from here to Iraq. And they earn a ton of money because the culture over here, the dominant culture over here, does not appreciate acquiring the second language. There is a joke always, they use it to break the ice in our department, and I hear it time after time. If you know three languages, you are trilingual. If you know two languages, you are bilingual. If you know one language, you are American. So that's why lately there is a shift and a change and there is a problem what we should teach. At Wayne State, we adopted the policy to teach modern standard Arabic. What's modern standard Arabic? Modern standard Arabic is the Arabic, the simple Arabic, that it's understood from Morocco to Iraq. It's understood by everyone. It's the Arabic you hear at TV. It's the Arabic of the newspaper. It's the Arabic. It's not complicated. It's not like the classical Arabic, like the Quran word. Okay, we call it modern standard Arabic. This is the one we should teach, because if you go to Morocco, you use it, they'll understand you. If you go to Lebanon, you'll use it, you'll understand. Why? Because if you want to teach the dialect, which dialect you want to teach? That's the problem. You have so many dialects in the Arab world. Let's consider we have five dialects in the Arab world. One in Morocco, North African, then we have Egyptian, then we have the Levant dialect, then you have the Gulf dialect. And each area of this, each one of these area has its sub-dialect, has its sub-dialect. Like in Iraq, if I tell you, are you mabsut? They'll get upset, because mabsut means you are beaten. But in Lebanon, are you mabsut? It means, are you happy? So notice that difference. So let's put, right now, most of the experts agree that modern standard should be. But the one who are driven by what the FBI and the CIA want them to do, they adopt teaching the dialect because they need a lot of people to tap or to listen to wherever talks between terrorists and their affiliate. That's what they need. So that's why they encourage to teach the dialect behind this. And the only people who are successful in teaching dialect in the world are in Haifa and Israel. Why? Really, they are successful because they're teaching a team called Al-Musta'ribin. Al-Musta'ribin, this team, they behave and they speak the very local dialect of the Palestinian, because the Palestinian in Gaza speak a language different from the Palestinian in the West Bank. Even in the West Bank, if you are from Quds, you cannot speak like you are from Tul Karm or wherever, or Ariha. So there is a difference. These Musta'ribin, they are able to imitate in language, in everything, the dialect and the tone of this town. That's why right now some university like Cornell and another university, they are teaching the Palestinian dialect. And this is amazing. Why? Because I think some people from Israel are in charge of their department. But at Wednesday, we reject to teach the dialect. We decide to teach the matter center. Arabic language is not hard to teach. First of all, there is no empirical study of how to teach the Arabic language. That's the problem. What we use all the theory, how to teach, we use how to teach Spanish and we apply it to Arabic. How to teach French and we apply it to Arabic. Because there is no empirical study how to teach Arabic. So it's up to the teacher sometime how to teach. There is some kind of development lately by certain persons, certain activists, to have the best method of teaching Arabic. It started teaching Arabic start in 1965. By Charles Ferguson. He is one of the Orientalists, and he did a great deal for the Arabic teaching in the United States. It started in Ann Arbor. It took 2 years to put a program together. But in that program, it was a hard curriculum. It's a hard curriculum to imply and to practice it. How? For the pronoun personnel, there is in Arabic 14 pronoun personnel. This is a turn off for anybody who would like to learn Arabic. How come there is a 14 pronoun personnel? We don't have that much in English. So we reduce it to like 8. Why? Because in Arabic we have the mode of Muthanna. The mode of Muthanna does not exist in English, does not exist in French. So we eliminate the Muthanna because it's not that much in use, and we just use 8. Now it's much easier. Second thing, teaching Arabic, they made another mistake by teaching the name of the letter. You don't have to teach the name of the letter. All you have to do is to teach the sound of the letter. Teaching the sound of the letter make it easy. So from the first session, you know how to read. From the first session of learning Arabic, you know how to read by teaching the sound of the letter. Instead of teaching ba, that's the name of the letter, teach ba. Ba, at the same time, teach the cases. That what's the, what I want to tell you what the cases. The case, there's 28 Arabic letter, but at the same time, there is 14 diacritical mark. Among them 14 diacritical mark, there is a three short vowel. The three short vowel correspond with your mouth movement. You don't have to even to remember it. Easy. Fatha, it means opening. Opening, just open your mouth. Let's use the letter ba. Ba. So just ba. So this is the first short vowel, ba. Now, there's another short vowel called kasra. Kasra means breaking. So let's break your mouth. B, B. You break your mouth. B. So it's easy to keep it. Then the third one is dhamma. Dhamma, bring your lip together like this. Bu, bu. So if you know these three movements, it's enough for you to start. If you know the sound of the letter and these three movements, that's it. You're done. All you have to know right now that there is a long vowel. The long vowel is twice as much as emphatic sound or gemination on the short vowel. Like ba, ba, bi, bi, bu, bu. And there is a letter, okay, correspond with this long vowel. The long vowel for ba is alif. The long vowel for b is the ya. The long vowel for bu is the waw. So right now, if you know the letter, the sound of the letter, you know them in three short vowel and three long vowel, you will start reading. You'll face a little problem with the position of the letter. Each letter has like three or four positions. Let's say four positions. Freestanding position, the ba by itself, I don't have a whiteboard. Then the ba in the beginning of the word, that's the initial position. Then the ba in the middle of the word, that's the middle position. Then the ba at the end of the word, that's the final position. The problem here, it's a little problem, it's not that big. The little problem over here that the ba in the three position varies in writing. Varies in writing. So you have a three shape of the ba. One in the initial, one in the middle, one at the end. So this applies to every letter. That's why in each lesson, try to learn not more than two or three letters. Because it takes a lot of time to remember where I put how and how the ba it looks in the middle. Because there is similarity between the ba and the ya and the na. These letters, the in the middle, they will be like a tooth. In that tooth, how do you know the ba from the na? Is by looking at the dot. Where's the dot? At the top or at the bottom? If it's at the top, it's na. If it's at the bottom, it's ba. This is the hardest thing in the Arabic language. Other than that, it's not hard. It's easier than English. Why it's easier than English? In English, you have to learn word by word. Give you an example. The H, when you see home, you utter the H over here. The H affect how you say home. But in our, the H is silent. Like if you want to make the pattern of make it plural. Book, make it plural, you say you add S, it will become books. Now dog, add S to it, it'll become Z. So this is something you have to learn each word by itself. That's why I think nobody has a spelling bee but the English people. No one. It's shame on you if you ask a French one how you spell this one. Or in Arabic, nobody will ask how you spell your name. There is no spelling. You have to know. So In English, no. Everyone, how you spell your name, how you spell that word. Spelling is very hard because sometimes, like 8 and 8. 8 over here, like the number 8, it takes 5 letters. And another 8, ATE, it's a 3 letters. You have to know it from the context of the phrase. So it's hard, really. The English language is harder than Arabic. In Arabic, the sound you hear, does the sound you write. So there is no problem in the dictation. Do you want me to continue? I could continue on, but if there is any question right now, I would like to answer. Yes?
I have two questions. How is modern standard Arabic different from classical Arabic? And then the second question is, you're saying it's an easy language, but what about the grammar?
That's very good question. How is modern standard Arabic different? I think it stands to reason that language as an entity undergo so many circumstances of a change. Language could develop, could die, could rebirth, could expand, and this is applied on the Arabic. So the classical Arabic was the dominant until the 19th century. But after Napoleon came and attacked Egypt, and after that, the contact with the West start. So we have Lara medical term and Lara translation. So many things the Arabic start to acquire, okay? And so many things the Arabic language start to drop. Arabic language is 12 million words. The English language is 600,000. The French language is 300,000. The Russian language is 130,000. Arabic language is 12 million words. Why? Because we have Lara synonym. For the sword, you have 1,000 maybe words. For the lion, you have the same. For the faras, you have the same. So during the 19th century, they start. We have a language which developed from the contact with the West. The language that we develop from the contact with the West, it become different from the classical Arabic. Even the classical Arabic is not pure 100%. The Quran has a Greek word, like sirata. Sirata is strata from the Greek. Okay, we have a Persian word in the Quran. But in the 19th century, we have Lara word. The Arabic language gave its word to Spanish like 15%. Besides, it affects the West, affects us not only by bringing a new word like Karaba, that's an Arabic, we coined that word, Karaba, because we don't know the Karaba. When they created it, we coined that word. But the West affects us not by these introducing these words, even by the structure of our phrase. Like, give you an example, like male practice or male nutrition. This one, we translate the whole thing. سوء التغذية or سوء التعبير. This one never happened before. إعادة ري, the ري, repeat or reintroduce or whatever. The RE, also we adopted. إعادة الاعتبار إعادة كذا وكذا إعادة كذا وكذا. So we took from the West so many things to our language. What we took, which is amazing and nobody knows about it, that we took the comma, the poem, that's in my column, because before that there is no dot, there is no comma, there is no nothing. You need a special person who knows about manuscript to read. This one introduced about 200 years ago. Otherwise, nobody can read. Nobody can read. So figure out how our interaction with the West did help. That's how we create the modern standard Arabic. Now, if you have, I have a book of Ahmed Fersi Shudia called Al-Saq al-Saq. And I read like 2 pages of that book, like 80% of the word I did not understand. 80%. I could show it to you. So figure out, when I say 12 million words, that mean so many of these words are dropped now or dead. Did I answer yours?
That was the first question. What about Arabic grammar?
Oh, Arabic grammar. That's perfect. Well, the Arabic language, it's known by its conservatism. We kept the grammar. The grammar we kept. For some reason, the grammar kept. We still have the grammar. First of all, the purists are the people who are fanatic about language. They are against any change. They kept the grammar. First of all, the Quran is considered the reference for the Arabic language. If you have any problem with the language, you go back to the Quran. And the Prophet said, if the Quran doesn't solve the answer, go to the poetry. He admitted that poetry could be also a reference for the language. So the grammar stayed the same grammar. But right now, there is a movement that there is very important, the short vowel I talked to you about. They have a grammatical, they denote some grammatical issues. If you have dhamma at the end, it's subject. If you have fatha at the end, it's object. If you have kasra at the end, I mean, it's preceded by preposition in these things. So these, they serve for grammatical function. So there is no change to the grammar. Until now, there is no change to the grammar. There is a movement, but I don't think we'll succeed. Why? Because the Quran, for so many of us, there's about 1 billion and 200 million, they consider the Arabic language is the word, the Quran is the word of God. So we will not have any change, I think. We will not have any change. Even these billion and 200, they read, they don't understand that much, maybe, but they consider it's the word of God and nothing should be changed with it. I want to say why the Arabic language will not die. For one reason, because it's the language of the Quran. The other thing, which is also the main reason, it's a root-based language. That means that root, based on that root, based on kataba, is the root, kataba, to write. Okay, you'll go on so many words. You could go on so many words. So that's why we'll never die, based on the root system. All the Semitic language, based on the root system, they will never die. Some of them died, but the rebirth happened for political reason, like the Hebrew. The Hebrew was a dying language just because the establishment of Israel in 1948 came back. Otherwise, there is no Hebrew language. Any other?
I teach high school, Arabic, level 1 and level 2. For level 1, for beginners, I use the shapes of the letter. For example, I teach them sets. First week, I teach the set of the letters that have the U shape.
Yeah.
Like noon, sa, dot. They know when they connect the same way. Other day, I teach the tail letter or the boat shape letter. So yes, to help the students. That's one of the comments. But I have a question about the grammar. We go to ACTL. You know what ACTL is?
Yeah.
We follow the standards of ACTL. They said not to teach grammar to the students. But the grammar confusion with the students, if you don't teach it to them, they're not going to be able to write or to learn conjugation. Should it be part, important part, important lesson that should be integrated or included?
Okay, based on universal theory by Chomsky, we all born with the infrastructure to learn language. We all born that way. All you have to do is to stimulate it. Is to stimulate it because we have the infrastructure that there is a verb, there is an object, there is a subject. This one, it's common in every language. So all you have is to stimulate it. That's why we should not focus on grammar. Focus on vocab in the structure. Focus on vocab in the structure. The problem is with the Arabic language down here, they don't read what or they don't know what research they are. Right now, they use the old way. The new way, focus on the structure, focus in the vocab, let the repertoire of the vocab to grow. and let them use it to retain it. But don't teach them this is fa'il subject, this is maf'ul bih. Conjugation is very important because conjugation is the main thing of learning or expressing yourself. So conjugation is not considered part of the grammar, but like fa'il, maf'ul, these things. But focus on teaching the structure. Al-idhafa, teach al-idhafa, teach jumlat al-sifa, teach al-mubtada wal-khabar. These are not the grammar, these are structure. So all we have to do, teaching the grammar is very dry subject, and people, they don't like it, but at the same time, it doesn't serve anything. Yeah, and even the best speaker in Arabic, they still make a mistake. The best speaker, the best orator still make a mistake. That's why there is a saying called second taslam. Second taslam, that means put sukoon at the end of the sentence or of the word. It will be, you'll save yourself. They, I mean, that's for the best speaker. That's what they use. So even the best speaker cannot match 100% the grammar.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
The question builds on what you said, that the Arabic language is not going to die. Out of your experience, professor, do you feel that the second generation, the third generation of Arab Americans will be able to speak Arabic?
I think, yeah, yes, they will. They will. It takes to be 100% Arabic speaker, it takes 2400 hours. That's before, long time ago. Cairo University, that's the research at Cairo University said that. And it's headed by an American, Roger Allen, one day from Pennsylvania University. He was there and they came to that research. It took you about 2,400 hours, which about 4 years of study. Okay. I think right now, with the new approaches, it takes less and the people are able. Arabic language is very beautiful language. When you get the essence to it, you will fall in love with it. So you want to continue, okay? Especially the people who has no relation with Arab. Their score is the most. In my class, the people who are in the top are American. I mean, they never ate hummus even. So they score 100%. They are easier for them to process, easier for them, their score. I think our generation, our second generation, they'll be in touch with their language. They'll be in touch. Just right now, what happened right now, the Arab world is down. Okay? When the Arab world is down and we have a bad reputation, as an Arab, the media put us down. So people in general will not look up to you. They will forget that we have the richest Torah, okay, culture and custom. They don't know this. But when I think the Arab goes back as a normal nation, people will look up, they will find how much they... Don't forget the Arab country, they stay until the Turkish Empire 400 years, 400 years. And even then, 400 years were not able to eliminate any Arabic word, did not introduce any Turkish word. So figure out how strong is this culture and this language. It's very strong. Yani Arab has in their disposal a great culture, a great wealth of culture and custom, poetry, literature. They have so many things. Now, most of you, when you graduate, you put a gown and a hat, right? The gown and the robe. This is an Arabic tradition. This is Arabic tradition. In the 10th century, people of Europe, they used to come to Andalusia, and they learn. After they learn, they imitate their teacher. They go home by the hat and the gown. And later on, it stays as something, as a habit in the university. That's an Arabic tradition. Yes, Talat, but...
I'm sorry. Is there somebody else?
No.
Yeah. Just your thoughts on the white accent that was just recently, the legendary law, the white accent that was created about the internet among Arabic-speaking people. So it's like it's an easy way of speaking Arabic among people that are from different countries. So, like, say if you teach Arabic right now in Morocco, would you use the classical, the modern Arabic language, or would you use a simplified Arabic?
I think the best way to communicate between different area is to use modern standard. Don't use the local. Nobody will understand the local. And besides using the letter, they call it transliteration, not a transliteration. Use the Latin letter for Arabic. It's totally wrong, man. It's devastating. So people should not use this. Anyway, it's not widely spread, but people should not use it. People should not. But I think modern standards is the best way. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was so interesting. That was so enlightening. And thank you. Thank you so much. So much to think about. I learned a lot. Some stuff I had heard before and some stuff I'm like, yeah, that's so true. Unfortunately, the Arab world is not in a good place right now, but someday we will get back on our feet. I would like to welcome featured visual artist Fatima Al-Husseini. Please tell us about yourself and share your art with us and tell us about your art and how long you've been here. And why you do what you do. Let's welcome Fatima, please.
Thanks, appreciate it for everyone. Good evening for everyone. The first time I'm talking by English language, usually I speak Arabic language. I love Arabic language. I don't know. I loved my language. So that's not mean the English language not beautiful. No. This is the world language. Sorry, I have a problem in my mic. So this is mother for every word a language. It's beautiful also. Let me tonight. I talk about myself and my artistic life. I'm very blessed to come here and attend it. What happened? Okay. I'm very blessed to came here and attended this event. I want to thank Sir Wissam Sharafuddin and Sir Nashat, and I wanted to thank the attendees for the inviting me to come here to talk about my artistic life. So today I'm here to introduce myself to attendees and or public as a plastic artist. My name is Fatima Al-Husseini. I'm painter. I started painting since an early age when I was 4 years old. That's too early age. I was drawing my family, like my father, my mother, my brothers, and my uncles. I was drawing very strong lines, like adults, when I start the drawing. My family... was surprised by my early talent. My family encouraged me and supported me a lot. I studied art at the College of Fine Arts, Babylon University in Iraq. My original country is Iraq. I'm right now citizen. That thanks God. I like United States and life in United States too much. I participated in many personal and joint exceptions inside and outside Iraq. And I own first place several times. And I got many awards and a lot of art galleries. I was a coordinated member of the art exceptions and the organization of the American PRT for care of civil life and art activities in 2008 in Iraq. I own in the first place in the exception of Al-Warqa colors, which was organized by the by the organization under the supervision of Mr. Harun Snipe, who is the representative of the U.S. State Department at the time in Iraq. Also, I was director. Thank you so much. Thank you. Also, I was director the exception. When I came to the United States, I participated in many exceptions with Iraqi, Arab, and American artists. I'm right now a member of City Hall Art Space Lofts Artist Group behind the window, this building, for the so nice artist group, City Hall Art Space Lofts Artist Group. Also, I participated with them in all art exceptions and activities they hold there. Like gallery rally, I participated with the American artist in gallery rally for 2018 and 2019. Okay, I'm talking about article. What are articles I'm drawing? Most of my paintings are about humanitarian issues or about wars and also about beauty articles. Finally, I aspire to be a world famous painter. I wish. I also advise novice painters many exercise and practice. This helps them to develop in painting. Okay. I bring today up tonight some my artworks, like four pieces.
So can go and talk
okay,
next to the
thank
piece.
You so much. Thank you so much. I use paper because maybe I forgot. still my language is not very well. I'm okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it. Support me, please. Okay. Now I'm talking about this one painting. This look like Halloween, right?
Yeah.
This Halloween, yeah. But this Halloween by the with the flavor of East. This different because I mix it between the Eastern
folklore like this man, and I don't know what mean this letting this touch the, or hold the knife, and the I don't know some makes it it's different. Makes it between the culture, between the Arab culture and the American culture or East culture, sorry, West culture.
And the fanus.
Fanus, yeah. What I mean?
Which is
Alibaba, the Alibaba. If you know Alibaba. Okay, well, I buy Hong. Okay. This one painting, a lot of people like the painting. A lot of people. Specialist American people, because this, yeah, thank you so much, Hussam. Appreciate it, thank you. This painting, I did this work last year, and I participated with the gallery rally in City Hall, Artist Space Lab, that's heaven, last year. This mean Arabic horses, beautiful Arabic horses, beautiful. And also this like the culture or folklore, this world, this addressed as like culture, Palestinian culture or Arab countries, anyway, Arab countries. So I like draw this article. I like to draw horses, our relationship between the women, between the horse. I like this relationship, really. So I prefer this article, this article. I don't know, it's understood about me. Is that good or no? Thank you. Okay, I transmit for the another one, painting. This is by oil colors. And also by all oil colors I did.
Okay.
This work I did by the charcoal. This mean Syrian child and the war, the bad thing, this effect about child and Syrian and Iraqi child. Okay, that's mean or title the word crying about the child, or the child crying the word of the word. Okay, that's mean. And the last one, I mean, thanks, Susan. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
I'm talking about this. This meme, or I put title for this painting. This mean homeless childhood. That's mean child in the poor people in the world. Anywhere. A lot of things bad happen for the child. Poor people or war from the war or from any bad things. That's not specific countries or mean countries. No, that anywhere in the world. I mean the child homeless or what? Homeless childhood.
Homeless, yeah.
I think yeah. Okay, that's it. I have a lot.
Maybe someone has a question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you pick models for your painting, or do you pick them from the news, or is it from your imagination?
All of my paintings from my imagination. That's really, yeah.
Okay.
That's real. But sometimes I affect by and watch some pictures. I affected this maybe making for me a lot feelings. So maybe transmit. I transmit sometime picture, but I mix it with some articles from my imagination, and I enter the pictures with the other thing from my imagination. This is from my imagination, and also this horse, the painting horse with the girl, from my imagination. Yeah, all of my paintings from imagination. Some I transmitted from pictures, but I did some changes. No, still some pictures. Changes. Yeah, no, I did some changes about them. Okay. And let me see.
Another question.
Go ahead.
This painting is very interesting, and we can see the contradiction between the East and the West.
Yes.
But is there a message you're trying to give? There is so many maybe symbols in it and details. Is there a message you're trying to give about what are your thoughts, like what made you paint this subject?
No, I just make Halloween different things. Nobody first, yeah. ما في حدا سبقني يعني ما بعرف راح أتكلم بالعربي.
That's okay.
Speak Arabic. Sorry. Yeah. يعني أردت أعمل شيء جديد يعني بالهالوين. The new things I do, new things about Halloween, different about any Halloween, and this like symbols. Used like cat, like I don't know. Yeah, speak Arabic. Okay, good. Okay. بتعمل شيء من الخوف يعني لأن الهالوين هو scare is not making scare feeling in the every people فيعني قصد بأكثر مما أقصد إنه يعني تعمل خوف للمقابل هيك يعني شيء. Okay, thank you. Another question there?
Can you tell us how you can be reached? Are you on social media at all?
I'm sorry, not I haven't any website, but I have email. If you anyone connect me with me, I have mail f alhassani at yahoo.com. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not making
email.
I'm artist. I'm draw anything. يعني ما في حافز محدد يعني أنا فنانة. I'm artist. Just I'm draw. I love to draw.
It's what
and
you do.
I'm.
And you do this all the time.
Yeah. Sure.
So you don't wait for a moment to inspire you. You're always thinking of painting.
Yeah.
You're always thinking of art, and you're always.
I'm inspired in the famous artist, famous. Yeah, that's my inspire. Yeah, I wish. Yeah, الحمد لله إنه قطعت شوط في أن أكون فنانة وأشارك مع فنانين أمريكان يعني مع عرب كمان أو يكون لي اسمي يعني هذا that's يعني هذا اللي أهم شيء عندي يعني that's important thing for me and I
I become a famous artist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sorry about my...
Please
don't apologize. Your work, you were great. Your work is beautiful. It really is. So much, there's a lot of emotionally charged pieces. A lot of heartbreaking pieces, especially that one right there. That's heavy. It's beautiful. And yaatiki alf afiya. And, you know, the tawfiq, always. Next up is our featured poet for the evening, Jamal C. And Jamal is going to tell us about himself. He has been writing for a while. He's living in Michigan, but he's of Palestinian descent. And you have an Instagram.
At Writing to Inspire.
It's a hook on Instagram. So, and you'll tell us a little bit about your poetry and what you do as well before you share some poems.
Yeah, absolutely.
But before you come up, please, just a small reminder about the open mic. Anybody who wants to sign up, please do that. And that will be the next segment. So come on up. Let's welcome Jamal.
Okay, I'm a little hesitant to use a microphone because I have a very naturally loud voice. First and foremost, I started writing at a young age because I noticed I had an affinity for it. And I always found liberty on paper. No matter what was going on in my life, I could seek salvation, refuge, whatever you want to call it, in my work. And I noticed that no matter what goes on in life, no matter how much time passes, one thing has withstood the test of time, and it's always been words. Whether it's religious, whether it's ancient literature, philosophy, and that's what's, you know, been able to guide people through varying problems. And one day I hope to be one of the greats that can do that. A little bit more about me. I've published 2 novels. I published the first one, I think, 19. The second one came shortly after. It was much better than the first one. The first one was bad. But you get better while you go. And yes, as aforementioned, I have an Instagram page, and it's just great to put the work out there and see that it resonates with people. I write about multiple topics, heartache, failure, struggles, anything that's universally human. Because no matter who you are, where you come from, how you pray, you experience being human. And it binds us all together in the end. So with that, I will read 5 poems. Thank you. This first one is entitled, My Apology. I am sorry that we ended. That we couldn't script a lovely finale on our final page. That our tears and our sorrows are covering it instead. But wait. The story is still being written, and we do not need to sulk in sorrow. Turn the next page. Don't be afraid. Don't fret over this. Tomorrow will bring newness. Lovers in moments that will cherish you and uphold your worth the way it deserves to be upheld. Tomorrow will collect these tears and fertilize the happiness buried within you. We may not be together, but we can still be happy. We can take the lessons we learned and create something more suited for us. And we're still together in a way, are we not? Trekking through the journey of heartache as we try to piece ourselves back together. I'll see you on the other side someday. And I will not be bitter, nor will I yell mean things across the border as if we are warring nations. I will smile, and so will you. And we won't say anything. The contentedness in our eyes will speak enough. They will express the gratitude we have for the journey we shared. Thank you. This next one is entitled Real Intimacy. I really can't lay down with just anyone. Sex requires more personal intimacy. I can't travel your body without first traveling your mind. I want to build a home in your heart, not in between your legs. I want to hear your thoughts, not your moans. I want to love your compassion, not your soft skin. I want to be the one who loves everything in you, not the one who lays down only to leave in the morning. But when the morning comes, the sunlight flickering through the blinds, the birds chirping atop trees. I will be there, leaning in to kiss your cheek, a soft bed that my lips will never tire of. You will know that my intentions are more than words. They are actions that will be carried out like military orders. And my love will be the soldier that only serves you. Thank you. This next one is entitled The Honest Truth. I wrote it in a really impassioned state, as you guys will see. Yes, there is a muse. But no, she's not here, luckily. The Honest Truth. I haven't said the words, I love you. But I have given you the space that you require. I have given you the safe atmosphere to openly and endlessly be and express yourself. I have given you pieces of me that I know I may never get back. I have given you hours of my sleep so that I can fill your heart with compassion and tenderness. I have given you the secrets of life that will unlock every door of your potential. My unending devotion and my commitment to your growth. But in case that hasn't conveyed my feelings clearly, here it is. I love you. All of you. In the spaces between weeks and days. In the laughter exchanged. In the jokes expressed and the hours spent deepening our knowledge of one another. In the way you turn darkness into gold and give my heart a hand to hold. In the way you're able to change my perspectives and push me to improve. I hope to hold your hand and look you in the eyes someday near the Detroit River with the sun shining and birds flying freely overhead as my lips utter, I love you. I hope the depth of my words will seem vaster than the river beside us as I yearn to transform your hope from a desolate, barren land into a fertile, bustling belly. Thank you. Multitasking up here trying to hold the mic, you know, like the paper out of the way. This next one is entitled My Oath to You. And it just really articulates my thoughts about love in general because I feel people think love is a walk in the park and it's really not. I learned that the hard way. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. My oath to you. Everyone talks about the good days, the excitement, the beautiful memories ahead. And don't get me wrong. There will be plenty of them. But I don't only want your good days. I want all of your days. The days where your hair is frizzy, your face is bare, and you're crying because you're feeling down. The days where you're angry because of a bad day at work, and you slam your keys onto the table, where I'll be sitting across with watchful eyes and awaiting ears to assure you that everything will be okay. The days where your heart will shatter from all the overwhelming sorrow it bears. Where your eyes will shower the house with tears as you reminisce on all the things you've lost. I don't only believe in loving you during the sunshine and the rainbows. During the smooth sails with fancy coastal views and fine meals. I believe in loving you through everything. The good, the bad, the painful, the ugly. I'm here for it all. And I wouldn't be worthy of your time if I ran at the first sight of a storm. And even if I drown or get ran over along the way, I will be placed in the casket with a smile on my face, knowing that I loved you the way you deserved to be loved. That I took each of your inner petals and planted good fortune in them. That I kissed your troubles away and absorbed your heartache. And that I chose you during all of your days and not just your good ones. Thank you. This last one is entitled All of You. I want to fall in love with you a million times over. I want to love the woman you are now, the fun-loving, spiritual person who transforms me from a sandcastle into a resilient, impenetrable fortress. I want to love the home version of you, who decorates not only the walls with white posters and globes, but who decorates the world with shades of love, compassion, and hints of humor. I want to love the mother that you'll become, my eyes watching joyously as you bounce our child up into the air that collects the love my heart emanates for you. I want to love the 40-year-old you, who has gray hairs of wisdom from the great journeys she's embarked on. I want to love the grandmother version of you, who teaches our grandchildren the invaluable lessons we all would have loved to have had. I want to love all of the versions that are awaiting their turn to exit the door of your soul. And when they do, I will intimately caress their shoulders and play with their hair until their thoughts and beauty fall onto my ever-awaiting spirit, until they can depart knowing that they've received the love they're worthy of. Thank you. Much appreciated. No, thank you, guys. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Emma.
It's always nice to meet new writers who are interested in the written word. Now is the open mic segment. So we're going to open up with Jessica. So please welcome Jessica. I met Jessica last week, was it? And she found out about open mic, and I told her, come and share, and, just a safe, good, supportive place. So please, I'm really happy that you're here. So let's hear Jessica.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me just open up my Google Docs real quick, and I'll pull up my poem. thank you for having me. This is a very exciting space for me to be in. I've only been to one other open mic, and that was at Eastern Michigan, where I go to school. So I'm a little inexperienced with sharing my poems, but I have written for a while. I feel silly saying all my life when I'm 21 years old, but so this is a poem I wrote not too long ago, and it's called Ferris Wheel. So I guess I'll start now. Okay. When I'm with you, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of a Ferris wheel. Like I'm moving up and up and up and falling, falling, falling slowly into hazel lights and old stories. It's like I have to cycle through 7 emotions to get to the one, the single reason that describes why it hurts. Because when I'm with you, I feel it lift in my stomach. It's like the uneasiness you get when standing too close to the edge and not being aware of the bottom. Like the adrenaline that builds during or after moments of impact. I'm cycling and recycling you out of my system. Like a whirlwind of right and wrong, I step in and out of 2 types of love. Now I don't know what to tell myself. Now I don't know how to tell myself that I'm afraid of losing you. I don't expect this wheel to turn forever, for the lights to glow back so that you can feel it too. I guess what I do expect is for you to leave, for the bars to fall down, the story to start all over, for the closure to bury itself under friendship. I can only expect what I know from falling in love with a friend, with you. When I'm with you, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of a Ferris wheel, pretending that I'll never have to step down. But when the wheel stops moving, the feeling won't have to fade, and I won't have to confront platonic and romantic for what they are. That's the only ride we'll ever go on, isn't it? The most certain, uncertain one of them all. Because when you step on a Ferris wheel, there's no telling where you'll be when it stops. The very top, face pressed up against the sky, challenging the wind to take you. Or at the very bottom, feet close to the earth, begging the night to find a way. I think you're my Ferris wheel. I think you might be the last emotion I can't name. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. That was beautiful. I saw a lot of imagery in there. And, language is always important when you write poetry, and there's a lot of details and imagery and metaphors, and I love the metaphor of the Ferris wheel and relationships and a lot of movements and colors. So, good stuff. Who's up next? Anybody? Wissam's up next. Would you like to going once, going twice? Well, I had that one poem. I didn't bring any other poems, so sorry about that. So anyway, next time. So Wissam will share something with us today. And yeah, let's do that.
Evening, everyone. I'm going to share a couple short works with you. Have you ever seen Stairs in Paris? I know Sylvie for sure she had, but have you seen Stairs in Paris?
No.
Look them up. Stairs in Paris. Oh, Paris, why do your stairs twist and turn in happy curves? As if dancing with the girl returning from her first date, or listening to the whispers of the old woman carrying a basket of baguettes and cheese, talking to herself, ascending you slowly to heaven. That was inspired by actual Stairs in Paris. A poem called Soon. Soon, the likes will be automated, the laughs will be automated, the cries will be automated, social media will interact with itself, and us, we will be mute and cold, and we will forget who we were once before all that. Sorry. My daughter's birthday was last week. I have a little short image poem for her. It's called 6 years ago. 6 years ago, my baby was four and waves were too loud for her. Thank you.
And it doesn't have to be poetry. Like, maybe you have a joke or, you know, you want to share something or a dance you want to teach us. Or, like, a magic trick. That's also...
Yeah, actually, the music performance...
That, yeah, exactly.
...was canceled because the person was sick.
Yep. So, anyway, I would like to thank you so much. And sorry you missed the... So for, do you want me to say it again?
Yes,
or, I mean, yeah. For those who've heard it, sorry. So I've started with this poem that's still in progress, and it's a draft, and it was been working on it for a while, inspired by the theme of tonight. So of course I have to reintroduce myself. No, I'm kidding. Yes. So it's called Sabah. And it's basically explaining Arabic words in English. Sabah is a woman with a voice like a bird, is the morning in the first language of my tongue. Dar is the room where we gather the winter, beginning around the blue flames of Nar. Salat is prayer, is breath. Salam is peace, is be, is upon you, not harb. Wad is a rose, a cool drink in a glass. Sabun is milh, like earth minus water. Infijar means loss, means all the ones you love. Means the opposite of fajr, or the million pieces of dawn. Shabak is the door we open to the sun. Hurriya, not huriya, like the open thighs of paradise. Qalbi is a beat of a wedding song, and ismi is the absence of thirst. Jismi is mine, my body, my own. And Saif is a season that remembers the sounds of home. Matar is the romance of closed windows. And Matar means all the ways we continue to go. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here tonight and, you know, for taking the time to be here and to support. Please come again next month. Tell your friends, share your work. And I just want to announce something very, very quickly, very small. In terms of like poetry and culture and literacy, wonderful poet Dunya Mikhail is coming next month to the. Who said Wallah?
No, I said, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I was like, yes. So it's very exciting that she's going to be here in November 13. Look out for the flyer. We'll be spreading the word as well. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful poet. And, you know, hope that you can make it. And you'll learn more details soon about it online. So, Dunya Mikhail. Thank you so much, Wissam. Thank you for Dome. And thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Keep doing what you do.
You know, I
we wanted to give you
one.
And it really
Yeah, but now he's validated, right?
I do.